Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. We have begun Advent. It is day one. So I open the Advent calendar to the box one and read, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." And each of you will receive, or already have received, an Advent calendar for your family. And it is for you to mark your waiting until Christmas. A simple way of defining Advent is by saying it is like one long night before Christmas Day. In the Jewish faith, a day actually begins at sunset, with the beginning of night. We as Christians begin a new church year today. We change our liturgical color to blue to symbolize the deep blue night before the dawn from on high shall break upon us, Jesus, the light of the world. Our vestments, our altar frontals, our banners dress us in the blue of waiting. Blue and stars welcoming us into waiting, the season of Advent. Our gospel today demands a twofold waiting. The first waiting birthed a cataclysmic event, God becoming one of us in Jesus. The second waiting is now, waiting for the end of history as we know it. Today's verses focus on the signs we are waiting for. Cataclysmic events surrounding the return of Jesus, the Son of Man. The end of the world language we call apocalyptic, which includes the triumph of good over evil. And it is not science fiction. It is genuine Star Wars theology. Speaking of stars, please look at your bulletin. Right below the gospel I just read, please look, for there is Van Gogh's Starry Night printed in color for you today. Look at that night. It is not quiet. The night sky swirls with energy. Van Gogh's painting captures the mood of this Advent text. It depicts an apocalyptic sky, a night ready to explode. There are swirling clouds of bold yellows and strong whites embedded in the deep, dark blue of the night. There is a vibrant cadmium yellow moon and swirling stars. In the foothills, a church steeple, its most prominent feature. In the foreground, a foreboding, flame-like image connects earth to sky, probably a cypress, associated with graveyards and grief. And that cypress is set against bold, fearless colors. So, what do you see? Some may say it looks rather frightening. Others, like me, may see in Van Gogh's Starry Night unrelenting love, swirling and churning, offering a glimpse of God. Or maybe all of the above. Frightening, bold, and beautiful glimpses of God. This is what Jesus offers us on this first Sunday of Advent. Glimpses of God present in all creation. In Advent, Jesus is advising Look up. Pay attention. Be ready. Because in Advent, we are preparing for two comings. God coming to earth in the infant Jesus, and Jesus returning in a time we do not know. God in Jesus now and not yet. So Advent is a season for teaching us about how to wait. Advent is the starry night of the Christian year. Therefore, inspired by the reflections of Susan K. Boak, an interpretation of Advent might be what a child might ask about waiting. How long does night take? A child would especially ask that question the night before Christmas. How long does night take? What an amazing question to ask, especially if Advent is the seasonal night before Christmas. How long does night take? If you are sick and in pain, one night might feel like 100 years. If you are alone and waiting for love, one night takes forever. If you are a child and night seems a waste of perfectly good playtime, night stretches into eternity. If you are a homeless person, the night matches the darkness of your fears. If you are an immigrant marching to a new border, the night might be your chance to find freedom. Those who work at night wait through the night as if it were day. And we cannot make night move any faster. Night is about waiting. And waiting includes helplessness. When we are waiting for dawn, or light, or hope, or love, or relief, we are helpless to turn back the darkness or hurry the new day. During the night, we wait and sometimes we toss and turn. We wait, powerless to control the wait. But that very helplessness makes every time of waiting, and this is the profound lesson of Advent, if we let it be so, every waiting is a time of waiting for God and in God. Every time we are waiting, we are in waiting, as in waiting for an answer to a medical test, as in waiting for a loved one's surgery to conclude, as in waiting to heal, as in waiting to hear if we can advance at work, as in waiting to hear the results of a college application, as in waiting for direction or clarity, as in waiting for peace for an anxious heart, as in waiting for an insurance quote to rebuild after a fire, as in waiting for help after losing everything, as in waiting for grief to lift, as in waiting for answers of any kind, as in waiting for things to get better. Knowing all of this, Jesus says to us, the challenge of Advent is that every wait can become holy and artful, awaiting for God. The season of Advent makes us wait before the dawn of Christmas. But Advent asks each of you, how are you waiting in your life events? Are you waiting with patience or frustration or anger, resentment, sleepiness, boredom, and/or despair? Or are you waiting with a deep desire for something new? Because at the heart of waiting is desire. We feel it, but can we name our deepest desire with honesty and bravery? Because in Advent, we can learn that waiting becomes the birthplace of hope and faith and especially love. The good news of Advent is that while we wait, in the waiting, God comes. In the waiting, we can meet God anew, again, for the first time, fresh, new every morning. Yet given all that I have just shared, I am terrible at waiting. I do not like waiting when I'm on the phone and put on hold, especially if the music that invades my ear is not to my liking. I find it hard to wait behind a very slow driver on the two lanes in Palos Verdes. I find it hard to wait in a long line at Trader Joe's or Sprouts. We are a part of an instant, hurry-up world, and we are not taught patience well. But I shall relate now a remarkable example of waiting that became holy and artful. I heard of a true event at a church back east that happened in the snow. There was a 95-year-old woman who fell in the snow on her way to church, and she could not get up. This woman could have become angry, frightened, and very cold. She could have given up and fallen asleep. In fact, she could have died. Instead, this 95-year-old woman began to make snow angels as she laid in the snow, moving her arms and legs. She filled up her waiting with energy and action, beauty and warmth, and it kept her alive. In this gospel, Jesus gives us the following clue to brave, holy, and artful waiting. The people are full of Passover joy in the hope a Messiah will come. But Jesus, sensing danger, is waiting with dread. Trudging along, he sees a fig tree, heavy with buds. And his eyes are drawn upward, where he notices suddenly spring and proclaims, "When everything around you is dark with violence and fear, stand up. Raise your heads. Your redemption is near." Let us raise our heads and look. Gaze with your hearts into any darkness into any starry night. God is near, God is here. Every time of waiting is a wait for God, with God, and in God. A wait for peace, a wait for the results of a test, a wait for a child's maturing, a wait for an end to pain, or grief, or fear, or the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so I ask a question of a starry night in an Advent season. How long does night take? How long does night take? When waiting is brave, holy, and artful, filled up with God, just long enough. Amen.